Praise the Lord. I want to try my English and see if you're hearing my kind of English. Sometimes it's quite difficult to talk to people who are not from the same place with you, and sometimes you've got to walk the extra mile to be able to hear the person. But I believe with us you go easier because we have one man called the teacher, and that is the Holy Spirit who will help us understand better. So I just plead with you to be keen. I will try my best to talk slowly and make sure you hear what God has to say to us this morning. Amen. Yeah, so that's it. But let me try now. Is somebody understanding me? Are you understanding my kind of English? Oh, all right. Thank you. I'm happy you're understanding me. Wow, this morning, I'm glad that God has given us the opportunity to listen to His Word, and I believe that His Word is good enough to change our lives and make us the kind of people that God wants us to be. The Word of God is God's instrument to change our lives, change our children, change our marriages, and give us hope for our future. And I always believe that if we take God's word as it is, the word of God will take us to places we never imagined we could. God chose to speak to us through His word, and it is the very word that created our universe. And every single word of the scripture is so powerful. You know, I was sitting somewhere and somebody said, you know, the last words of a man are very powerful, so you better take note of the last words of Jesus. Oh, but I objected in my heart. I said, no, we can say that to human beings. But when it comes to Jesus, every word He said from the beginning of His life to the end is powerful. It's not only the word He said at His dying point. Every single word He said in His lifetime is powerful. So whatever God says to you, whatever God says to me, is very important and powerful if we can use it in our own lives. Amen. All right, so I want us to take our text this morning from the book of Luke. We're reading in the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. And we want to read from verse 35 to 43. Luke chapter 18, verse 35 to 43. All right. And as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. He replied. Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Amen. I want to share with you on the topic, Press on till you win. Press on till you win. Press on till you win. Let me warn you. Tell your neighbor, press on till you win. Talk to your neighbor on my behalf. Just say, press on till you win. Don't worry. I will tell you the area where you ought to press on till you win. Thank you. Press on till you win. We just read something which I feel to be very, very important. This is a blind man. And the Bible tells us his story. The man was on the wayside doing nothing else but begging. He was begging on the wayside. He could not see Jesus, but he could hear something. That's why sometimes you may lack one thing in your life, but you will have another thing. You will never lack completely. You may lack something, but you will have something else. And if you use that thing you have properly, you will excel and succeed in life. Many people, when they don't have what maybe others have, they feel they cannot succeed because they don't have what others have. Some feel they can't succeed because their friends are married and they are not married. And they say, those who are married can succeed, but I'm not married, so I can't succeed. You know, the temptation is always to capitalize on what we don't have. But God wants us to capitalize on what we have. It is the same idea that people capitalize on what? Their weaknesses. But God does not always want you to capitalize on your weakness. He wants you to capitalize on your strength. When you measure on your strength, it will help you succeed in life. Everybody in life has strengths and weaknesses. Every woman, every man has got a strength and a weakness. But when you measure on your strength, you become a hero. Those who became heroes, as we read the Bible, were not heroes because they never had weaknesses. There's no time for me. I would have pointed them one after the other, and you see how weak they were. But God chose to exalt their areas of strength. Look at a man like Moses. You will say, wow, what a man with visions from God. Moses was not altogether strong. He was a man full of bitterness. Come on here. Am I right to say so? Do you imagine he break the Ten Commandments when he came and saw the people? He was angry, and what happened? It got broken because he was a man full of what? Anger. Do you know why he did not enter the promised land? Because of anger. He got so bitter with the people and he could not enter the promised land. But that's not a passport to ask you to keep being in bitterness. I beg you. Bitterness will stop you from entering your own promised land. So better don't be bitter. Hello? Don't be bitter. But that was Moses. But he was the kind of man that chose to follow the strength of God in his life. Talk about a man like Gideon. Remember when the angel of God visited Gideon in the book of Judges, if you read well from chapter 6. What happened? Gideon told God about his weakness. Oh, I'm a weak man. I come from a family that does not have his own. Oh, I'm nobody. What was he doing? He measured on his weaknesses. But God told him. He said, oh, you mighty man of valor. You see, God sees us differently. He sees us from a very different perspective from the way the world and our neighbors see us. And God would like us to measure on our strengths. I want somebody here this morning to know that even if you had failed in one area, you have found success in another area. And when you measure on that area of your strength, you will become more of a blessing to people. Sometimes you see some people who are great singers and they sing and bless people. You think they are wonderful husbands back home. They are not good husbands at all. Back home they fail. But here, you only see his what? His strength. And so you are happy, you praise him because of his strength. Why? The person chose to measure on that strength and work hard on it, and then he succeeded. This is a principle in life. Learn to measure on what? Your strength. If we must press on till we win, we must learn to do what? Measure on our strengths. Let me show you why in Egypt, the land of Egypt was not destroyed and the wall in the time of Joseph. Follow me. Let's try to reason something together. In Egypt, when the king had a dream, his dream was proving that there are going to be, he saw very fat animals, which were fat, 7 of them. And then out of a sudden, he said, some very tiny other animals came and they ate up the fat ones, and yet the tiny animals did not increase in size. Come on here. They swallowed up the 7 fat calves and yet they remained the same. Then Joseph had to interpret the dream to the king. What did he say? He said to the king, the 7 years will be 7 years of plenty. I mean, the fat calves you see are the 7 years of plenty. Then he added and said, the 7 tiny animals you also saw will be 7 years of what? Famine. But he made a statement, and that is what I want us to attach to our lesson. He said, let us make sure we handle the 7 fat animals properly, so that in the time of the tiny animals, we will survive. I'm paraphrasing now. He said, if we can handle the moment of abundance properly, and make sure we measure on the time of strength. Let me use that word now. If we can handle the 7 years of strength well, then we'll be able to cover the 7 years of famine without feeling the famine. What is that telling us? If we can handle our strength well, our strength will cover over our weaknesses. Hello, somebody. Are you following me this morning? If we could measure on our strengths properly, our strengths will do what? Will cover over our weaknesses. Who was Peter? The man who denied Jesus even at the last moment. But imagine him. That's the very Peter. He had a strength. He was a man who could talk. He measured on that. Opened his mouth and people knew him for the great apostle and evangelist, whom thousands will hear his message and turn to Christ. Raise your hand and say with me, I will measure on my strength. That's powerful. Measure on your strength. And so Egypt did one thing. Joseph gave them wisdom and they measured on the 7 years of abundance. And after the 7 years, the years of famine came. And they did not feel it at all. Because they handled the 7 years of abundance properly. This man, though blind, he could hear. He was a blind man, but he had ears to hear. And then he heard that Jesus was passing by. Oh, Jesus, passing by. Then he opened his mouth and the Bible said... How can I put this? I still use another word. He could hear. And though he couldn't see, his mouth could talk. So what he could use, he made sure he used it. Don't measure on what you don't have and waste time there. What you have, use it and you will still arrive. Use it and you will still win the battle of life. Oh, what's happening? Jesus, then he opened his mouth. Though I don't have eyes, but I have a mouth. And he said, I will use what I have. I will not take my time on what I don't have. Then he said, Jesus, you son of David, please have mercy on me. Wonderful. There's something here which I want us to be careful with, because it's going to help us in our message now. When he shouted the first time, Jesus paid no attention. It appeared Jesus did not hear him. But I want to tell you, I believe, and it's my conviction, that Jesus heard him. Have mercy on me. He did not stop. The people said, come on, quiet. Quiet. Many of us have been asked to be quiet in life by the way people treated us. They make you feel you don't have a say. They try to influence you and stop you from what you want to achieve. Some of us in prayer, you wanted to pray that God may do something in your life. But out of a sudden, circumstances discouraged you. Come on, somebody. You were in a journey
to do something for God. But it may be one brother or sister in church did something that offended you. You became discouraged. You drew back. But this blind man, when he shouted the first time, Jesus did not stop. They tried to hold him and ask him to stop. The Bible said, the man didn't stop. He shouted the more. In other words, he said, if I was on gear 2, I need to go to gear 3. Oh, come on here. The drivers can understand me well. I don't know how to drive, but I understand a bit about driving. That the reason why you change a gear is because the one you are using is tired and cannot continue. Come on here. Hello? Am I right to say so? You've got to change so that, you know, when you face something that is tough, the other gear is no more climbing or going, you have to do what? Change so that you impose, in science, you are bringing a greater law so that you can break the other law which is coming against you, the force that is coming against you. So the man said, well, instead of staying quiet, I will double the force. Instead of staying quiet, I will shout louder. After it all, I'm the one sitting here. I'm the one going through what I'm going through. No other person is going through what I'm going through now. So I better make sure I shout. Who knows? This may be my last chance to ever meet him. Let me talk to people here. I see old mothers here. See young fathers here. I know some of you have invested in prayer. There are things you have asked God for. And have been praying. And somehow, somewhere, it's like nothing is happening. And you feel like quitting. You feel like changing your mind. There are things you've been praying and expecting God to do. Maybe the life of your son to be changed. Maybe your daughter's marriage to be changed. It may be you have been asking God to do something in your job. There may be issues, your marriage, your husband, who is difficult. You might have been praying and asking that God may change his life. That God may do something new in his life. That may be what you have been crying for the years and praying up to God. And because there is a delay, because there's no response yet, you feel like giving up. No, the blind man taught us not to give up. The blind man is teaching us not to give up. The blind man is telling us to continue in the cry until our voice is heard. Listen, he was crying for his voice to be heard by Jesus, not by the people. And as long as Jesus did not respond to his voice, he will not stop crying. As long as the Lord has not responded to what you are crying, you don't have to stop. Because we have a promise that we should ask and it shall be given. And when you ask until it is given, don't stop asking. Until it is done, don't stop it. So, oh, how many years have I prayed for this matter? Nothing has happened. That's always a deception of the devil. I'll show you something. The devil always wants you to see how much or how long you have been in the problem. How long you have prayed. That's what he wants your attention to be tilted to. So when you look at it, you get discouraged. And say, oh, how do I continue? How do I go on? Many years, no answer. Why should I go on again? Let me tell you. There's a principle I came to discover. And I make sure I put it in practice in my life. When I go praying, I set my eyes on what I want. I don't set my eyes on how long I'm asking for it. What God promised me, and I'm for sure waiting for it, is the thing I'm asking. It is not the time. I know we live in a generation of everything now. 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 Today's generation. Now. If it's not now, then I'm not there. If this marriage is not changing now, then I'm no more there. If this child is not changing now, then I'm no more there. Oh, come on. When you are no more there in the marriage, you want to switch off. Because it may be there's a way to divorce. To divorce. And you say, no, I stay off. I'm tired of it. I can't move on. I waited for the change. It hasn't shown up. Listen. Why do you always think that? Why do people always think that divorce is the best choice? A good substitute. Hear me. Listen carefully. When you are still on this side and you don't know what is on that side, you will feel that what is on that side is better. When you are still on this side and you don't see that side well, you will feel that you could be better off if you were that way. But it's not always the way we think. Oh, I wish my marriage was like that man's own. I wish it was like this one's own. You think that is because their lives are so excellent. No, it's because they have learned how to manage their situations. What you need more is not a cutting off. It is learning how to manage and resolve the circumstances that are around you. Don't think you are going through a more difficult circumstance than many other people or everybody in the world. No, it's not true. That's a deception from the devil. My senior pastor told me a story, and I will never forget that story. He said when he just graduated from Bible college, he just was given the first church to pastor. And something happened. One woman entered his office. And as that woman entered the office, she just burst and started crying. Oh, pastor, I'm tired of this marriage. I'm getting away with it. I'm leaving. I'm tired. Started narrating the things she's going through and crying and just hitting the place. Why she was still talking and crying, the pastor said, please sit down. And pastor was still imagining to put into place all what Bible school taught him about how to counsel people. So he was praying and said, God, help me to be able to apply my stuff here. God answered his prayer in another way. Another woman just jumped from outside and came inside, a sister as well. Said, pastor, good day. Oh, sorry to interrupt you. Good day. The woman just struggled. You know, normally, he doesn't want her tears to be seen. All right, so this other woman has come in now. As she comes in, she just said, pastor, I just came so that you pray with me. I'm facing great challenges in my home, but I'm quite courageous that I'm going to make it. I know my husband will change. Things are this way. This is what has happened. But I just want somebody to pray with me so that I can keep on in the journey. Because I know I must win in this battle of my marriage. Huh? Then she was explaining the things that she's been going through. Huh? Then pastor said out of a sudden that other woman who was crying made sure her face was okay. And was listening carefully. And as she listened to the story of this woman who was so bold and believed that things will change. When that woman finished, pastor just prayed with her and she left. As she was going outside, the other woman who was complaining and has not yet received counsel said, pastor, no need for counseling again. If people are going through these kind of things I have heard and they are still bold enough to say their marriage will work, then I think there's no need for me wasting time. There are greater problems on this earth. And she left the office and went away as well. What am I trying to bring up here? There is somebody going through a more tougher situation than you, and he's courageous to make it through. You are not having the greatest problem on earth. That's a deception of the devil. He wants us to be so impatient so that we can lose from winning the battle. But we've got to learn to be what? Patient and pressing on till we win. You must have something you are expecting and have to press on till you get it. Until you get it, don't stop. Don't be so impatient. I remember a funny story I listened to many years ago. One young man, he just stumbled into his pastor's office, a young man, a youth. As he stumbled into the office, pastor, good morning. Yes, son. Pastor, I have a problem. I have a very big problem. Big problem. Pastor, big. Big problem. Big problem. He said, come on. Okay, my son. What's the problem? Pastor, my problem is that I'm so impatient. That's my problem. I'm so impatient. Then guess what the pastor did? The pastor asked, okay, When do you want that problem to be solved? He said, now. Many of you don't understand. Immediately, the problem was revealing itself. He doesn't want it after. He wants it now. So, the real problem is just manifesting right there. Everything is what? Now. His problem is that he's suffering from everything now. And they said, when do you want it to be solved? Now. So impatient with life. But God wants us to be patient because He is a patient God. His character is patience. What has kept the wall from being destroyed? What has made the wall to still be sustained till today? You and I are alive because of that great patience of God. If He were not patient with us, I doubt where we would have been by now. But His patience have kept us. Let's learn to be patient with ourselves. Patient with other people. Hallelujah. Yes. Do something for yourself. Be patient. You've got to learn to press on. Don't get discouraged by what you're feeling. Maybe as a church, you have a vision. And you have been asking the Lord to do something in your midst. Oh, and as you keep seeking, you are not seeing the change coming. Don't you give up. Press on till you win. Until you see what you are asking. Don't stop. I like a statement that Simeon made. Simeon, the man who dedicated Jesus in the temple. The Bible said it was revealed unto him that he should not see death until he has seen the Messiah. When he heard Jesus, he said, Lord, now allow your servant to depart in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation. He said, I can go now. I have seen what I've been longing for. When you stop without getting the answer you've been praying for, then all the other years are wasted. You waste them. I remember Jesus spoke to the disciples. He was talking with the disciples in John chapter 6, around the 60-something verse. The Bible tells us, after he said, if you don't drink of my blood and eat of my body, you don't have a part in me. The Bible said many of his disciples withdrew. They ran away. Said, we can't continue. Then he turned and asked the rest who were still with him, like Peter. Said, you too, won't you follow? And Peter made a statement. He said, you alone have the word of eternal life. Where else can we go to? Where else can we go to? We will hook on with you till the very end. I want to challenge somebody here to press on like this man pressed on. He was not stopped by what the people said. He shouted all the more. And Jesus had to stop. Let me tell you. When God delays to answer your prayer, it's not because He did not hear you. It's because He wants to see how much faith you could apply. Let me tell you. That's the truth about it. Persistence in prayer is a demonstration of faith. I can say that again. Persistence in prayer is a demonstration of what? Faith. What makes Abraham a father of faith is because for years he was trusting God and he did not give up. You know, some people, well, I believe in a walk of faith. And I know there are situations you will say, be healed now, and a person will be healed. There are situations you will say, let them change now, and they will change. And I've also learned and seen from scripture that there are situations that will take a time before they are done. What does God do at that time? He is wanting to see how much faith we can apply. This is what Jesus was looking for in the blind man. Because he heard the first call. He didn't answer. He wanted to see how much faith is there. Because as the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. He said, without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. Which therefore means faith pleases God. Faith attracts God. So God, Jesus wanted to see the faith of the man. Whenever God delays to respond to you, He wants to see how much faith you can put in Him. He wants to see how much you can depend on Him. Many of us say, I depend on God, I trust Him. But hey, when He delays, that's when we know whether you trust Him. You start looking for an alternative. It could go this way. It could go this way. I heard somebody say, God takes too long to answer his own thing, so I better look for an easy way and go with it. But that easy way is always full of destruction. Talk to me. When God delays to answer us, it is not because he wants us to worry him, because some people believe that you need to worry God in prayer, then God will answer you because you are disturbing him. Uh-uh. He's rather testing your faith. No. You know, sometimes when we read in Luke 18 about the story of the widow, we think that Jesus is giving us a picture that if we disturb God. No, that wicked judge answered the woman because the woman was disturbing him. But God is not a wicked judge. He's a loving father. He will not answer us because we are disturbing him. Rather, he answers us because he sees our faith in him. When we put our faith in him, that attracts him to respond to us. I could show you a catalog of people who came to him and they demonstrated their faith. They faced obstacles and demonstrated their faith, and he gave them an answer. We read carefully, we'll still find out in the Bible as we read through. I think in Luke chapter 5, there's a story of the man who was brought to Jesus. The man who was paralyzed. And they wanted to come in, but the place was too full. No space. If it were you and I today, you would say, no. Come on. There's no space. So I carried the man back. But the people kept looking for a way because they needed an answer. And they went off the roof and came down. What is that? They faced obstacles, but they did not stop at that. Remember the Syrophoenician woman who brought her child to Jesus and said, please help my child. He said, no, I can't take the children's bread and give it to dogs. If it were you and I, he called me a dog. He said, I'm a dog. You just keep moving away. The generation of today. But guess what? The woman said, true. But dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table. Jesus said, child, what faith is this? And the child was healed. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5 was combated with the crowd. She could have been discouraged, but she pressed on. And at the end, she got it. You too, if you press on, at the end, you will get it. Say amen. Amen. You press on, you will win at the end. Don't be discouraged. I don't know the things you've been asking God for. But God asked me to tell you to keep pressing on. Hey, isn't this exciting to hear? That somebody who have been praying to God, God sent his servant this morning to come and tell you that what you've been telling him, he has heard, and that you should keep pressing on. Hey, you should keep doing what? Pressing on till you win. Your marriage can change. Your son can change. Your daughter can change. Your job will change. You got to press on. Till you win. Hallelujah. That's what God asked us to come tell you this morning. And with all of our hearts, we say, this is the mind of God. Take it, and it will produce result in your life. Amen.